What's up, everybody? Welcome to Attention to Detail, the podcast. This is a brand new endeavor for me. I'm getting started with this today. I actually had the idea a couple of days ago to start my own podcast. I have the one with Yosef under the microscope, so there's still good stuff on there. We'll have ours there, but I wanted somewhere where I could just rant, put up a ton of content, and get some good guests on here as well. So this first episode will be primarily about, first, what the vision is for the podcast. So short intro, just so you know what you're listening to. And then two, why you may not be seeing results from your hours and hours of training, or from the training that you think is quality work. You're not overtraining like I always preach, but you're not seeing the level of results you want to see. So that will be today's podcast, and we'll get into it. All right, so first, my vision for this podcast. First, all of these are going to be either one, shorter episodes. Now, I know everyone's attention span these days, not the best, which is, I'm in the same boat. I like to listen to podcasts, but sometimes when they get a little bit too long, it's a little bit of a commitment. So I have to really enjoy it to listen to an hour plus long podcast. Most of these will be on the shorter side for sure, unless we have a guest on here, which will probably be about an hour. I'll try to hold it to an hour, but I will be getting some really good guests on here for you guys. So those should be interesting enough for you guys to be locked in for an hour. So trust me when I say that I'm not going to waste you guys' time. I saw something on Twitter today, like making fun of how podcast hosts and really people in general just drag out every word they say. And I promise you, yeah, I may be doing it right now, but I will not do that for the majority of these podcasts. Now, we're also going to cover a wide variety of topics. So everything from coaching to how to structure your workouts to so on-court performance or on-court training, performance training, how to play better in games, nutrition, recovery, random stuff that may not even be related to basketball. There's so much I'll cover on here. So with that being said, I want you guys to give me some suggestions, because most of this stuff will be stuff that I've been learning about and applying for a good amount of time. But I'm also willing to research the hell out of something when someone asks me a question that I may or may not know or want to go deeper into. So questions for sure will turn into podcast episodes. Suggestions for topics, definitely feel free to email me, DM me, whatever, however you can contact me, and let me know, and I'll consider every one. Another thing is that I will definitely be covering some stuff that most people don't talk about in the mainstream training culture. So it'll be pretty unique every episode, I would hope. And most importantly, I'll leave you with practical advice every time. So I don't want you to take out your headphones or shut off the podcast and think, where do I go from here? I want you, whether you're a player, a coach, a trainer, fan, whatever, to leave every podcast with a few things written down that you can start doing today or in your next session or in your next game or whatever it may be. So you will leave here every time with practical advice. And that's my main promise to you. All right, so now, why your countless hours of training are not applying. Posted about this, I think 2 weeks ago. I don't know when this podcast will be dropping because I got to get approved and everything. So I posted about this like late December on Instagram. Got some pretty good engagement. And I think a lot of people were interested in why it's not applying. Why? Because I've been through the same thing when I was in high school, whenever, like working 4 or 5 hours a day. And just didn't get better. Now, eventually I started to figure it out. But early in my high school years, even middle school years, I was a worker. And I know some of you guys can definitely relate to this, where you're just working your ass off and you get in a game and you freeze up, or you don't seem to be making any concrete progress. So I do believe there are some fundamental limitations to how we normally train, and those are probably the reason why a lot of us, a lot of basketball players, are not seeing the results that we can be getting. All right, so number one, just to start it off, you're playing against air. There's no reactionary component, and it's okay to be playing against air. I will clarify that, because a lot of the time, you can't find that many people to play defense against, which is okay for sure. But if we're constantly doing pre-planned moves and shots, there are no cues, whether it's visual, auditory, which means like hearing, or tactical cues, touch, or reacting to defenders or whatever. These aren't going to transfer as much to the game because you're not used to having to react. Everything is pre-planned. Now, a note on reaction time. They've done a few studies that I've seen. I'll try to link this in the description, where they show that reaction time is not, or it doesn't have any correlation to how good you are as an athlete. And that goes for soccer players, basketball players, most team sport players, right? So reaction time is basically you're born with it. It's hard to improve, and there's not much correlation. Now, what is correlated is the ability to read and pick up on patterns and react to sport-specific cues and whether it's defenders or your teammates, kind of seeing where they're going on the court, how they're moving on the court. These things are what are actually correlated with your level of mastery in the sport. All right, so with that being said, the reason I brought that up is because if we can have tactical or specific cues in our training, so actually reacting against a human body, this is best, right? So, like, I see a lot of I see there's kind of a new wave these days with I believe it's called like the fit light training, where like the lights light up and you dribble to it and touch it and it turns it off and you go to the next one. I'm not huge on that. I'm not, whenever I am saying I'm not big on something, I'm not hating on it, I promise you that. But I'm not the biggest on that, because that's basically reaction time. That's not anything of a sport specific cue. And most players find themselves pretty comfortable doing that. Or at least the guys I've talked to, you're not really getting outside of your comfort zone. We'll circle back to that for sure. But again, bringing it all back together, I got off on a little tangent there. Try to incorporate actual reactions to what you will see on the court. So get a friend, have them play defense on you, actually play more live stuff. Again, we'll get to that. And even if you have to, and I've been doing a lot of this lately, I'll give them like an audio cue where I'll say either one or two, and that means like maybe finish on the left or finish on the right, or I'll give them whatever it may be, left or right, and that's the foot that they have to plant first. There, you can be really creative with it. Just try to cut down on the pre-planned moves where you're dribbling through cones. You know what you're going to do before you get there. Make everything more reactive so that in a game, you're able to adjust easier. All right. And I think that's a pretty standard recommendation from most trainers, but it's hard to implement. So you really have to be creative. This can be a whole podcast episode on how you can do this by yourself. But I truly, truly, truly believe the best way to accomplish or to check off this limitation is to just find someone, even if it's your mom who's telling you left or right, or your girlfriend. It doesn't have to be a player. I know with COVID and everything, it's kind of tough, but the more people you can get involved in your workouts, the better. All right. Number two, you're not getting enough variable practice. So block practice, I'll kind of explain the difference between variable and block. Block practice is basically repeating this same skill over and over again, which is good. There's a time and place for that. Most skill acquisition experts recommend transitioning from block practice to variable practice. So at first, the majority of the time or most times, we want to start by getting a movement down or a skill down, right? Like you have to be able to shoot a fadeaway or like a slight fader or any type of shot to be able to react and do that in a game. You have to have that physical competence first to be able to actually apply that into variable or reactive practice. Now, once we get good at this and once we have the confidence in this shot or this skill or whatever it is that we're working on, we want to switch over to varied practice. All right, so this isn't shooting the same shot every time. It's you're either reacting to something, so maybe you have the option to either lay it up or do a floater. It's going to switch back and forth every time based off of what the defender does or what I call out, floater, layup, go, whatever. All right, so it's switching every time. And this is what you're going to see in a game, right? You're not going to be doing the same motion over and over again, because that gets easy after a while, in simplest terms. So the more we can vary it, the more we can be shooting more types of shots in one drill, the better, or at least the better for transfer. So keep this in mind that you want to start with more block practice at first and then get into a little bit more random variable practice where you're doing different skills in one drill, or one concept. Number three, you may be doing just too much. Quality is, to me, always takes priority over quantity, especially in the realm of basketball training, where our bodies are a limiting factor, right? So you can practice violin or musical instrument, something a little bit more cognitive. You can do that for probably longer than you can train for basketball, because our bodies aren't a limiting factor in those. We're not going to burn out. We're not going to be depleting our carbohydrate stores by playing too much piano. I mean, we will to a certain extent, but not anywhere near the extent in basketball. So at some point, our workouts are going to become submaximal. We get tired after, I would say 90 minutes is a pretty good bet, based on the research. After about 90 minutes, our workouts are going to be pretty submaximal. All right, so if you're working out for 2 to 3 hours at a time, that lower intensity is not going to transfer to that high intensity of a game. And this is something that a lot of players, younger players, don't realize. And even some pretty elite players, they go at about 70% speed or less. So give or take, 75%, 3/4 effort, whatever you want to call it. They're going at these submaximal intensities. And when they get into a game, and this is pretty standard again, I've heard a lot of coaches talk about this, that it's not going to apply. I don't think you have to always be going 100%. Let me get that straight. And that's a conversation for another time. But I do believe if you're so tired that you can't go 100% speed anymore, it's time to cut it. And I've cut plenty of workouts at 45 minutes even, where guys are, whether they're a little bit out of shape or not, or just going hard, they can't go hard anymore. So if the goal of the workout is not conditioning, why are we still going? Because you're not going to learn anything in this state, learn anything new at least. Now, memory is somewhat state dependent, so there will be a time where we want to rep out stuff while we're tired, but not when we're going 50% and just bullshitting through the workout. So many times, if you just cut down your workload, let's say you work out 3 hours a day, that's 21 hours a week. Let's say you cut that down to 15 hours a week. You're going to see more results than you do at 21 hours a week. I guarantee you that. If, big if right here, if you up the quality of it. All right. And all of these tips will go into the quality of it. And just simple effort can up the quality of it. So really, really, really consider working out less at higher intensities. 4, most players don't play enough. The best players are generally, and I'm willing to make this generalization, the guys who, or girls, who have played a ton of basketball for their age. These players have, started off playing pickup basketball or played a ton of games when they were younger and have accumulated that experience that's going to help them build that pattern recognition within the game, right? Just like we were talking about earlier, being able to recognize patterns and see chaos, because basketball is a chaotic game. See the chaos of the sport as beautiful patterns, all right? So even if you haven't developed these instincts, we all know those players who just, they may not be the most skilled, but they just make stuff work because they have crazy vision. They just know how to get to the bucket. those guys have played a shit ton of basketball, period. I can 100% guarantee you that. Now, not all of us have had that early childhood exposure to a ton of basketball or a ton of playing basketball. A lot of us may have worked out a lot, like myself, like many others, like many players I train. And we need to make up for that. And one way we can do this is, well, two ways. One, play more basketball, play more good basketball. So not just skipping workouts to go play and BS 5-on-5 games, but actually real competition, a lot of 3-on-3, with players that will challenge you, with players that are better than you. And number two, I think this is done less often, is at least as a trainer, what I try to do is make at least half of my workouts and group sessions live. All right, so they're live. They have players competing against each other, basically isolating different skills. So let's say we do some block practice of, pick and roll. All right, so we're just kind of feeling out the options there, getting some shot reps up. Wouldn't do that for long because players can do that by themselves. But then we're playing off of those pick and roll options. All right, so I have someone literally playing defense, someone playing offense, whether it's 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, and I'm just orchestrating these situations so that they can compete against each other. All right, so at some point in a workout, I'm not as much of a trainer as I am just an orchestrator of putting them in positions to play, develop instincts, and let them just figure stuff out. Because the best way to get better at basketball is, well, the best way to get better at anything is to do that task. Now, we're going to need some things other than that task, of course, 100%. But too many players spend way more time working out with no defenders. And even more so, they may spend 70% of time doing that when the real game is against defenders. So you're not doing the real task enough. So in workouts, play more specific types of 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, but make it live. So you're actually reacting, you're actually building skills that will apply to the game directly. Number five, you're not replicating what you do in games. This is, you know, even old school coaches, new school coaches, everyone agrees on this. If your role is the guy who's going to bring the ball up the court and play make and be a point guard and dribble a lot, then work on that stuff. If your role is a guy who's a specialist who shoots threes, plays defense, obviously you're going to get a little bit outside of your comfort zone at times, especially in the offseason, and try to expand your game. But if that's all you do and you're not working on what you do in your role, the transfer is going to be limited. So that is really, really key to make sure that you're not getting too far out of what you do in a real game, what your role is. Number six, there's not enough freedom in your training. So this is something that many players, they see stuff, they see hate on Instagram where coaches are saying, like, you can't get out of your role. Just like I was talking about in the last tip, number five, you've got to only shoot threes and one dribble pull-ups and just rep these out over and over again. And I'm a big believer in keeping it simple, but I'm also a very, very, very big believer in freestyle dribbling and more exposure to more types of shots and floaters. Because once basketball is a game where you'll never see the same shot twice, or you'll never see the same dribble move twice. You'll never see the same floater twice. Everything is coming from different angles, from different hands, different foot positions, with defense on your left side, your right side, in front of you, behind you. So this is something that we have to incorporate, because we've got to prepare and be exposed to a bunch of different types of whatever the skill may be. All right, so I'm big on freestyle dribbling, because if we just give players pre-planned, you know, let's go double cross between, double cross between, double cross between, there is a place for that, especially on the more beginner side. But at some point we have to vary this more, and this goes back to the block versus variable practice. But it also goes back to just being able to have everything in your arsenal, or not everything in your arsenal, but at least be exposed to a bunch of different things. All right, so sometimes you will want to do some stuff that you're not doing in games. Sometimes we can oversimplify things, and I'm guilty of that. So have a little bit more fun and freedom and variability in your training. Seven, you're not learning how to move. And this is something that is probably going to be, if you're listening to this podcast in, you know, 3-4 years from now, this is something that I really want to be at the forefront of. I want to be a pioneer of. And everyone knows the player who has great handles. Like, he can dribble the hell out of the ball. He dribbles it fast. But he gets ripped every time. Or you can't go by anyone. Or the same thing with shooters. Like, there are players who can shoot, but they miss shots in game or on the move. And this is why I'm starting to do more stuff without the ball, is because there are layers to us on the basketball court. One is human. So how are we moving as a human? Two is then how are we moving with the ball in our hands? If we're not good moving as a human, so we're not, we don't have good acceleration mechanics. We don't have good, we're not very competent at catching or taking away the basketball. We're not very competent at stopping on a dime in a lateral direction. How are we going to add a ball into that and stop catching a ball and get into a shot? Or how are we going to add a ball into the acceleration and become good with our first step, or whatever you want to call it, if we can't even have that first step without the ball? And I think a lot of players neglect this and really only care about how their crossover looks in terms of, or from a ball standpoint, not a body standpoint. So this is something that I'm really getting into more. And again, you're going to hear a lot more about this. And then lastly, this is 100%, maybe even with the last tip, number seven, and something that I really want to pioneer in the basketball training community, is encourage mistakes. Encourage failure, encourage getting away from that perfect image during workouts. All right, like, I see a lot of guys, who younger players, who see pros or top high school players work out on video, like on mixtapes and stuff, and they see them making every shot and doing everything perfect, dunking. That's not how workouts look. And if it is, then it's not how they should look, because if we want to talk about deliberate practice, we want to talk about getting to that zone right outside of your comfort zone, so it's nothing too overwhelming, but it's also a challenge to you. That's where we get better. That's where we make strides. And too many players don't chase those failures. Too many trainers don't chase those failures in workouts with their players. And it should be frustrating. They should have a hard time picking stuff up sometimes. This should be not only accepted, but expected. And the more we can get towards making this the norm, I think the more results we will see as a training community. Because even I will have players that are still, like, you know, for example, the other day, player missed like 4 straight shots because we're working on like a new type of shot. I'm like, yes, like, I love it. Kind of messing with them, and they're like, yo, you hate to see me fail, like, or you love to see me fail, and blah, 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 whatever. That's a learning experience for them. That's a teaching opportunity for me, where it's like, look, if that's in a game, I'm going to hate to see you miss 4 shots in a row. But in a workout, we want to miss those shots and then eventually begin to make them. So in a game, you're making them, right? So have those conversations with your players if you're a coach or a trainer. If you're a player, chase those imperfections in the workouts. If your coach or trainer doesn't expect you to be messing up and wants everything to be perfect at all times, again, there is a time to be perfect. I promise you that, where we really want perfection. But most of the time, we want stuff to be frustrating, right? So if your coach or your trainer isn't a fan of this, send them to me. I'll send him all the research. I'll have a talk with him, and I guarantee you he will leave. He or she will leave okay with your imperfections. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this first episode. I think we're about 25 minutes right now, so not too bad. And again, a lot of practical applications. So take these, get onto the court, write them down, especially the ones that you may not be doing or applying as much as the others. And understand that regardless of where you are, you still have time. So you may not have been training the right or not the wrong way. You may have been training in a way that could be improved for the last, 10, 15 years, but you still got time to improve. You still got time to make these changes. And I think everyone will see a lot of results if we take these, we practically apply them, and remind ourselves every day how we can train to really perform on the court. So again, feel free to ask any questions about the content of the episode, DM me, email me, whatever it is. Give me suggestions for new episodes, new topics, or just reach out to me, say what's up. So thank you guys for tuning in. Got a lot more of this to come.